The next passage is Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. It is the Revised Common Lectionary passage for Proper 11 in ordinary time for July 17th. Now, as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." In Luke's gospel, Jesus has already set his face to Jerusalem. He could rightly be distracted and burdened with anxiety over his impending death on the cross, and yet we extraordinarily find him at the ease of his friends, just being with his friends. And in this encounter, we see Jesus entering into one's anxiety, Martha. And this is important. He does so without becoming anxious himself. This should be a profound lesson for all of us. He compassionately sits with us in our anxiety. Thanks be to God for that, by the Spirit. He shares in our affliction without becoming afflicted by anxiety himself. That's good news. I mean, sometimes we want people to feel the same level of anxiety that we do, that somehow that demonstrates to us that they care like we care. It doesn't mean if somebody is unanxious that they don't care. We need God to be one who enters into our anxiety without becoming anxious himself, because he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And he already resides in tomorrow, and he knows in the end, all will be well. All will be well, and all manner of things will be well, as Julian Norwich said. Let's also not overlook the way that he values women. It's no small thing that he's entering into the home of these two women to sit down with them in an intimate setting without ever crossing any lines that would dehumanize them in any way. But he values them. He honors them. And so it should be in the Church of Jesus Christ. It's amazing how much folks have made out about this brief passage, since the story itself, it's quite spare in details. Thus, and not surprisingly, many commentators and interpreters over the years have rushed in to turn Martha and Mary into mere tropes, metaphors that stand for any number of things. Is this a story on the value of contemplation over deeds-based ministry? Is this a story grinding an axe, to address the role of women in ministry in Luke's day? You know, I don't know. There's a lot of things going on, even in a small passage. But there are some difficulties. First, the Gospel of Luke generally places a premium on service, on diakonia, as it is in the Greek. Yet Martha's service is apparently criticized by Jesus in verse 40. And what's more, earlier in Luke 10, a passage we've already read, Jesus gave advice to the 72 missionary workers that when they are welcomed into someone's house, they were to eat whatever was set before them, in Luke chapter 10, verse 8. Yet here, Martha's busy preparation to get a meal set before Jesus seems to be met with some disdain. Also, Jesus has just told the parable of the Good Samaritan, in which the bottom line is, go and do likewise. So help me understand, did Jesus just pivot from advocating an active ministry of mercy and neighborliness to looking askance at a person who is doing a lot for someone who is content to do nothing but sit and listen? Probably the only mistake we can really truly make in this incident is to make it an either-or scenario. Think dualistically about it. Given its placement in Luke, this story can at best highlight one kingdom value among others. The question, therefore, is not to ask whether this passage advises us generally to ask whether it is better to listen than to serve, to be contemplative or to be active. But rather the question is, in the larger kingdom scheme of things, what do we learn? What particular aspect of life before the face of God is being addressed here? I think approached in this way, perhaps those who suggest that hospitality is a theme, they're onto something. How do we receive Jesus? You know, there have been times where I've made a choice and I knew deep within it was the only choice to be made. It was the right choice. And if I could do it all over again, I would make the same choice and do so with thanksgiving and gratitude. There have also been times when I made what I thought was the right choice, but now I can see it was not the right choice. There was a better choice to be made. I would do things differently if I had the chance to choose again, wouldn't you? I'm sure you can imagine in your mind's eye several things that you wish had been differently. Too often we equate the choice we make and its subsequent approval or rejection with our goodness, our worthiness, our acceptableness, our faithfulness, our lovableness. That's what most of history has done with Mary and Martha. Mary made the better choice, Jesus says. And so we can quickly conclude that we should be like Mary and not Martha. We are to sit and listen rather than be active and busy. Mary is equated with the contemplative life and Martha with the active life. And much of the Christian history has seen the contemplative life as the more sacred, pious, perfect life. That's one reading of this text, but is that it? If Jesus is saying that Mary, to the exclusion of Martha, is the way that we are to be, then the next time my wife asks me to run some errands or to help with the chores around the house, you know, I think I might say, nah, babe, you go ahead. I'm going to choose the better part and sit here with Jesus. How do you think that's going to go over? Right? I don't think that's what Jesus is saying. I know my wife doesn't want that. Jesus, I think, is making an observation, not a judgment. So while we might distinguish between Mary and Martha, there is a common theme. The common theme, rather, is presence. Mary and Martha are two ways of being present. Both ways are necessary, faithful and holy. Don't get that wrong. There is not simply one choice that is made forever and always. We are always to be discerning the one thing needed for a particular time and a particular place in particular circumstances. What is the better part given our particular situation? What are you up to, Lord, in the particularity of this moment? How do we be present? Show up to the divine presence that is already and always before us. That's the question. Some days Mary will be our guide, and other days Martha will be our guide. Either way, we must choose. Some days that choice may mean sitting quietly and listening to the heartbeat of God within us, reading and studying, watching a sunset with our spouse, or praying for the world. Other days and other moments, it may be speaking words of hope and encouragement, offering actions of compassion and hospitality, seeking forgiveness and making amends, or climbing a tree with a child. What is the one thing needed right now, in this moment? Not forever, or what you think will fix all your problems and let you live happy ever after. Just for now. What is the one thing needed that will keep you awake, aware, open, receptive, and present to the presence of Christ by the Spirit? Choose that. That is the better part. But hold your choice lightly, because there will be another choice to be made after that, and another one after that. We choose our way into life and love and relationships and faith, and our choices matter because of that. And know this. The choices that we make today determine the stories we end up telling tomorrow. So our choices matter. I don't want to put too much weight on them, but we don't want to deny the power and the profundity of the choices that we make. Choose Jesus. Choose to actively join him where he's at work and be amazed at the stories we will tell.